This morning we're going to read Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to the ending of the chapter. If you could read with us together, the scripture says, "Now those who were sent, who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch." Well, okay, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this word, your word. We ask that you speak to us. And in this special day, this Mother's Day, we thank all these mothers for all the work that they have done with their kids. And for those mothers that are barely starting, well, help them out. And thank you for the blessing that they are for our church, for the blessing they are for our community. And today we ask that you reach out to everyone and let us hear your voice. In Jesus' name, amen. You can sit down. You may sit down now. So we're studying the book of Acts, and we will see what being a Christian means. If we see the title of this message, it's not badly written. It's if they could put it right there, it's H with H, because I mean with A, which X. But I mean, when one studies the book of Acts, we see that it alters and challenges our concepts of what the church is. In the book of Acts, it teaches us how different the concept of the church is. For example, the church is not the building. It's the people that know Christ. The people don't go to church. The people are the church. The church is not an institution. It's a people. It's a living organism. The church does not make activities to reach others. Each person forms part of the church, communicating the salvation of Christ with those who they are in contact throughout throughout the whole day. So the church is not made of a specific ethnic group or economical or social status or people. The church is multi-ethnic, multilingual, and with a diverse social economic status. But this concept wasn't just formed out of nowhere. It took around 4 years. The church was centralized in Jerusalem, and little by little it began expanding its diversity. There was some kind of a diverse social economic status, but majorly it was made up of Jews. Some of them were multilingual, since many of them were born in other countries, but they were of the Jewish religion. And that's where we see the persecution being expanded. It was first the Samaritans, who were half Jews, and then after the conversion, Paul's conversion, if you remember, he begins to share the gospel normally with Jews, but he does come to spread the word of God to geographical areas which nobody has been there, especially the Jews, and churches will be established. So right now, I mean, at that time there was Christians in Judea and Samaria, but the church begins to reach the Gentiles. In chapter 10, we see that Peter is used to spread the gospel to this man who's a Roman centurion. He was a religious man, which formed part of the Jewish, Jewish religion. He was a military man that directed 100 soldiers and believed in the Judaism, believed in the family values, Jewish values, and God uses Peter to take the gospel to this man. He comes to know Christ and incorporates in what the church is in this time. So again, the church is barely beginning to form, and it hasn't yet formed as a church yet, as a church that we know today. So we see, let's see chapter 11, verse 18, because after Peter informs the church what has happened in regards to them, this is the response of the church. Now, those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled so far. He's saying that the word is being given to others that aren't only Jews. For us here in this church, this is very important because we are the result, a direct result of what they did. They reached us, and now we have this task of spreading the gospel to all nations, just as they did. We have that task of spreading the message that Christ forgives through his faith and believing him as our Savior, Lord and Savior. And as you may know, we have in this church, we have a lot of ethnic groups. I mean, some of y'all speak English here. So that's God's plan, that we be a multi-ethnic and multilingual church and spread the word to all those who don't know God. I mean, and you might ask, is this even possible that there's people that don't even know the word? And the answer is yes. There are almost 3 million people, and I want to show you in a map how this is and where are these people are at. These people that have never heard the gospel. So we're talking about people who have never heard the gospel. I mean, some of you this morning have heard the gospel, you know, time after time after time, and yet don't even believe. But I mean, there are people in this world that have never heard the gospel. So let's see this map right now. All the red parts that you see are the parts where the gospel has not reached. There's no one that has gone there and told them, God died for your sins to save you. Everything that you see in red, as you see this, the areas that are red are the Muslim areas, are the places where spreading the gospel is very hard because they're actually persecuted. So you can see all the middle part of the world. And there's some also parts in the Americas where they don't know the gospel. Now let's see the next map. What's in yellow is where the percentage Christians is so few as well. More or less, the map says that there's around 6,000 such ethnic groups that have never heard of the gospel. Again, the yellow areas are the parts where there's a lower percentage of Christianity. So there's some Christians there, but not a lot. So now let's see the next map. Everything that is green is where are areas where they have received the gospel. As you can see, we have a huge task at hand, and we still have a lot to cover. And that's our job as a church. The disciples began that job, that work, and it's our job to spread the gospel. So who's going to go? I mean, you can say, I'm not. Well, all right then. Well, that's our calling. That's the calling for me and you. I mean, as we'll see this morning, in 2 weeks we're going to be in a class named Missions, which we will see how the missions work. At 9:30, we're going to have 6 classes so we could see how we could spread the gospel to these areas. So please come with us so you could form part of the class. So, I mean, we shouldn't be asking, is it going to be me, Lord? You should ask, where do you want me to go and when do you want me to go? This is our calling. Where do you want us to go and when? That is a question we should ask ourselves. We are all called to spread the gospel. How did Christianity come about? How did this Christian movement start spreading the message of salvation to all nations? So that's how I would say Christianity is. It's a Christian movement that takes the message of salvation to all the places that they go. How was it born? What does it teach us as messengers of Christ? It teaches us, what does it want to teach us here in Tyler? There are 5 elements that helped bring the light to what we call Christianity. First, Christianity was born from the persecution. Verse 19, let's read what it says. Now that those were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus. So how did Christianity come? By the persecution. And because of the death of Esteban, many people got to know the word of God that were out of Jerusalem. And so they would go to different areas towards Antioch. But let's see what verse 19 says. Speaking the word to no one except Jews. So what was going on? You know, they go out, and many of them are like, we're not going to speak the gospel to nobody except for Jews. Why? I mean, why is that? Remember, the gospel came to the Jews, and they were assuming that this message was only for the Jews. And only wanted to communicate this message only to the Jews. But Christ said that we should be preaching the word to none but... No. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. And these people that came out of Jerusalem go, but they do not spread this message with those who aren't Jews. This doesn't help us. I know sometimes we're very superficial, and if we're like, if they're not part of our ethnic group, we don't want to share that. So, I mean, us Hispanics sometimes do this too. Sometimes we isolate ourselves to only our ethnic groups and say, no, I don't want to get close to this person. I don't think it's my right to spread the message to those type of people. So, you know, we feel comfortable. And God is the ones that encourage us to get out of our comfort zones and spread the gospel to others. The gospel can take you to get out of your comfort zone, could take you to being persecuted. But God wants to use you and take you out of your comfort zone so that you could spread the gospel to other people. We should pray that God takes us out of our comfort zone, out of our community group, and help spread the gospel to everybody, as we've seen in this map. So Christianity was born through persecution. That movement of spreading the gospel to other nations. And second, Christianity was born by the... Verse 20 says that there were men of Cyprus who, when they entered Antioch, spread the gospel to others who weren't Jews. So they were obedient men that they went to Antioch and said, we have to spread share the message with everyone. And they speak the gospel to other people who weren't Jews. because they were obedient to the Lord. And these people were bilingual, they spoke Greek, and they spoke to the Greeks, and they shared the gospel. We should note that it says that these were men. I mean, I don't doubt that there was women, but I mean, the truth is that these really were these men, that these men had this responsibility of spreading the gospel. This morning, in the prayer group, you know, there's people here that are praying at 9. I mean, so I was the only man there. And you know what we were praying? We're praying for men that who really love prayer. And you know what we always ask here in Grace? For men that will spread the gospel, that will be disciples and will make disciples of God. So let's see this example these men shared with the people of Antioch. Let's see what it says. They spread the word. They didn't say what church they went to. They didn't share their opinions, nor their ideas, nor their religion. They announced the gospel of Jesus Christ. So they shared the message. The message is simple, that you could share it in 5 minutes. Well, then how do I do it, if you may ask? I've been teaching this for around 6 weeks in one of our classes. How do you share the gospel? It's not that complicated. It's easy. In 5 minutes, you could do this. Share the gospel to somebody else. I like seeing how when people are obedient and they go and spread the gospel. I'm not that brave, but some people do it straight like that. But I mean, there's people that are outside of the church, outside of a store, and they just go straight and spread the gospel. And I like this, you know, just give me, you know, some of this flyers, and I'll go there and spreading, you know, the message of God. So obviously for some of us, it's a little bit intimidating, you know, but there's some people, you know, that have that bravery to do so. But God has called us to, you know, spread the gospel, and you should do it, you know, in a way that you feel comfortable. Like, as these men who, you know, shared the message, you will see that it's good news. What are the good news? What are they? That God wants to restore our relationship with Him, and He said that He died for our sins so that we could have life in abundance. So that He could fill the void that only He could fill. Your passions cannot fill that void. Your desires cannot fill that void. Your wife cannot fill that void. Your husband cannot fill that void. Your achievements cannot fill that void. Your trade cannot fill that void. Your medicines cannot fulfill that void. And it's only Christ. This is the message of the good news that God wants us to share to others. These men did it because they were obedient, followers of Christ. And that's how Christianity began, through the obedience of His disciples. And third point, Christianity was born through the power of the Lord. Verse 21 says, "And the hand of the Lord was with them," which means that the power of the Lord was with them. God gave them the power to speak. And through them, God shows them their power and uses them in such a way that a good amount of people were converted. So what does God do with the obedient Christ? person. It's not by our own will that we do things, but through God, through the power of God. God is going to show His power when you tell Him, use me. You know, I want to be used by you to share the gospel. And it says that they turned to the Lord. They decided to follow Christ and not do what they want. Now they have given a 180 turn and started following Christ. Many of them converted. The gospel of Jesus Christ is spread and extends and will extend when we are obedient and go and spread this message wherever we go. God will use us and His power will be shown in Christ. Number four, Christianity was born and reproduced by the intentional discipleship. They saw that in Antioch, a group of believers was born. Now, I want to tell you a little bit about this church or this city in Antioch. It was the capital of Syria. It was the third biggest city in the Roman Empire, called the Queen of the East. Golden Antioch was a city of more or less 300 miles north of Jerusalem, with more or less 500,000 people, and 25,000 were Jews. Its city had streets made of marble and was one of the few cities that had light in their streets. And the city had a port that was very busy, and the population was made of rich people with a good financial status. And they were also filled with a lot of degenerates. And the second book of Corinth describes what they did and how corrupt they were and how immoral they were. And what happens is that God helps build a church here. And from there start a movement that Paul will be moving. So what happens? This is the church caused Bernabé to disciple these new believers. And not only this, he will bring somebody else. How did Bernabé help these Christians? First, he said he rejoiced. Verse 23, he says he rejoiced. He rejoiced in seeing the transformation of the lives of others. And when we see believers, converting, we should, be happy. And it says that Barnabas saw the grace of the Lord. What does that mean? It means that the believer who has believed in God shows the grace, is the proof of the change, and how we begin to manifest these changes. Okay, when one is changed, you can see the change, you can see the proof, the evidence. And Barnabas saw this and he rejoiced. And he said, this word that you remain is very important. This word means to be attached, to be clinged to somebody. In a moment, I'll show you what this word means. Sometimes when I go to the store with my daughter, sometimes I'm very busy, and I tell her, just, get me through my pockets. But I'm walking, and she's clinging to me. So why do I do this? Because I don't want her to get lost in the store. And I have to make sure that she's clinging to me. So the idea is that we should cling to the Lord. Why? Because He knows what happens. You know, if you don't cling to someone, what's going to happen? Well, they're going to divert and they're going to fall. So what happens many times is that as believers, and not only as new believers, but God has called you and saved you and told you, you know, be attached to me, you know, and you were like, you know what, we're attached to God for a little while, and then you're like, oh, man, I don't know, you know, I'll do my own thing, you know, so sooner or later, you know, you get lost in the path. So if I would do it, do you think you wouldn't do it? I mean, I did it once. And, you know, I said, Lord, you know what? I'm better without you. You know, I give you the opportunity already that you guide me, but you haven't given me what I want. Now, I want to say that the things that I wanted weren't good, but I mean, that doesn't justify me leaving the Lord. And you know what? Nothing good arose from that. I stopped reading the scriptures. I stopped praying to God. I said, I don't want anymore. And that's the way that we untouch ourselves from the Lord. Until we realize that we're wrong, we'll be lost. So we need to hold on to God. Until we see that we understand that God wants to help us. He wants to guide us and help us and teach us. I mean, God said that this is a process of that will a lifelong process. And he says, you know, you have to remain with me, be with him. I mean, I know probably a moment will come where will give us a little bit more freedom and we do what he brought us to do, right? But what does Barnabas do? He tells his disciples that we should cling to him, and it's something we should also learn. This is what following Christ is. Furthermore, not only did he tell him this, he also said that he was a good man, filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at the qualities that this man had. What happens? And a good multitude of people believed in God. So God uses Barnabas to spread the gospel. But why? Because he was discipling these people towards the path of God. Verse 24:25 says that he calls and asks for somebody to help them. And who is that person? Saul. Remember that person who caused all this chaos in Jerusalem and made them get out of Jerusalem? Well, he called him because he knows that God would use him to spread the gospel. And he brings Paul to Antioch. Paul had been already a believer more than 10 years, so he brings Paul to Antioch and disciples the church there for a year. So what would we like here in Grace? That we would be a church that we are disciples and create disciples. I am pleased to hear that there's around 20 people that are, you know, talk to others and disciple others. So this is our job. This is what Paul and Barnabas did. He says he taught them what? The Word of God. Interesting is that they didn't have all the other things that we had. I mean, what did they have? Just the Bibles. I mean, they didn't have books. You could say that you could buy your books, you know, to help you. But in those days, they didn't have anything. Yet they are spreading the gospel. They are fulfilling the mission of being disciples. Today we have so many resources, yet many of us don't even do it. I mean, apart from the Bible, you know, they had to understand and know the Bible so they could be able to disciple others. If I tell you, you know, if I tell you to go disciple others with only just the Bible, would you be able to do it? If your answer is no, well, you have to work on that. We want that you as a believer, if you're going to be a disciple, that you use the maximum authority that we have, which is, in this case, the Bible. That is the most important thing that we must teach to a new disciple or disciples, is to teach the Word. And here in Grace, for those who are visiting the first time, I hope you see that we focus so much on the Word, and that is what's going to produce fruits of God. And the church grew because there were disciples, and the Christianity was born by the true testimony of the Christians. Let's read the last part of verse 26. And for a whole year they met with the church and taught the great many people, and in Antioch the disciples were first called Christian. So this is where Christianity was born. And this name Christianity was a nickname that the Romans gave the believers. The Jewish called them the Nazarenes. And the Romans started putting a name to these Christians, living like Christ and following Christ, and were like, there are some Christians. Some Christians. And today, they would probably call them Jesus freaks. And they started to identify them as followers of Christ. We're talking about the people who were not Christians, who were not believers. If today I ask you, any of you, what's a mom? What would the majority of you tell me? Without a doubt, you will tell me all the qualities of a mother. A mother is this, and that. I don't think there will be any bad things that you would say about a mom. But if I ask you today, what is a Christian? I'm convinced that many of you would say many bad things. Why? Part of this is that, I mean, it's really put on us. Why? Because there's these bad concepts of Christianity, because we have lacked in following Christ. An author named A.W. said, are you really a Christian or just a student of a Christian? Nobody has the right to think they are a Christian unless they're really trying to follow what the Lord asked us to follow. And he does this question. Luke 6:46 says that there's no satisfactory answer, because Luke says, Lord, Lord, and not what I tell you. These who have believed walked as Christians, and that's why they were given that nickname Christian, and that's where we get Christianity. One of the pastors said the following: if you were to be arrested, would there be enough evidence to incriminate you as a Christian? We must be real, true followers of Christ who win. The Christianity is born through the persecution, the followers of Christ, through the obedience of the disciples, and in sharing the message of salvation to everyone. It was born through the powerful transformation of God and intentionally discipling the believers whose life began to shone in Christ for all he has done. So God is calling you to be obedient. God is calling you to share this message of good news and salvation to other people. He is calling you to be a disciple this morning. So if you haven't met Christ or given Him your life, well, He's calling you. He wants you to come and know what it is to follow Christ. So if you're unattached to Christ, well, He's calling you this morning. What a better way to begin that in Mother's Day and follow Christ.